You are tuned into Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Now, as mentioned, it is a Technology Tuesday, and today we're talking about smart cities and civil engineering, integrating technology and urban planning. In the rapidly evolving landscape of urban development, the integration of technology plays a pivotal role in shaping the future of our cities. Now, as the demands on urban infrastructure continues to grow, civil engineering stands at the forefront of this transformation, spearheading innovations and of course, propelling cities towards a smarter and more sustainable future. I know all of that sounds like a whole lot of English, but to help us understand that, it is Chris who's joining us on the line. Good evening, sir.
Good evening, Tapelo, and to your listeners.
How are you today?
I am well. How are you, man?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for asking. And how was your day?
My day was very busy.
Okay, yeah. there's money made.
For someone, yeah. For sure. Without a doubt.
For someone else.
Yeah, someone's made money.
That's a good way to look at it. Okay, busy, but busy is good though.
Yeah, busy is good to be occupied. Gainfully, this is good.
Yeah, fantastic. Appreciate that. Well, let's hope that those that gained today, monetary speaking, you know, they'll look at us one day and be like, "Now you must gain somehow."
Yeah, no, we need to gain from this economy.
Yeah, what else can we do? Thank you so much, man, for joining us today. Really appreciate your time. Do you want to just tell our listeners a little bit about yourself before we get into this concept of? Yo, they said smart cities, and I always thought about Ramaphosa for some reason. But anyways.
There's a good reason for that, yeah.
Yeah, how about you?
Yeah, well, so I'm a infrastructure project manager.
Yeah.
And I'm from a civil engineering background. But most of my career has been not so much in design, but in the planning and the management of infrastructure projects. That's my background in a nutshell. So I've been in the space for more than 10 years now, maybe 12 years.
Yeah,
occupying various roles in the public sector and the private sector as well. And currently, I'm in the mining space. Yeah.
Ah, fantastic, fantastic. Really appreciate that. Let's first start by, I suppose, trying to help us understand this thing. When we talk about smart cities, what the hell are we talking about?
Yeah. So the concept of a smart city is not as rigid as we might believe, or at least the academics are a bit more fluid in their definition of a smart city.
Okay.
Yeah. In fact, ISO, the International Standards Organization, I think that's what ISO stands for. ISO has a definition, like a proper definition. And it basically speaks to sustainability. So a smart city is one that improves in terms of sustainability, you know, and has a rapid pace of improvement in terms of sustainability. And they also talk about resilience, you know. I think that has to do with disaster management, and this is achieved by interaction between the residents of the city and those who are running the city. And also, you know, the way the city is led and governed. It has to do with how data is used, you know, and how that data is integrated with various technologies, and all of that is supposed to lead to an enhanced quality of life. So a smart city is basically one that is governed well,
yeah,
and that uses technology well. in a nutshell. Yeah,
that's interesting. I just want to go back to the fluidity that you're referring to. Is it because maybe they don't understand the ISO standards, or it's a fluidity which I suppose is informed by lack of resources or constraints in resources? Because from what you're saying, it sounds like it's pretty clear from an ISO standards process,
yeah,
quality assurance part of it, that it leads to, like you said, quality of life. Why are we not even aiming towards that, or is it just that resources are restrained?
I think it's a combination of things. So yes, there's the resource issue, but there's also the political issue.
Ah.
So in the official definition of a smart city, it doesn't start with technology.
You know,
technology is an enabler. But the key thing is the way the city is managed, you know, and the methods that are used to manage the city. And a lot can be achieved without technology, you know, without the most advanced technology, with very basic and minimal technology. You can have what can be considered a smart city, where you get your bills on time, where your bills, your municipal rates or water consumption is accurate. You can have that without the most advanced technology, but you need good systems, you need good governance, that kind of thing, reliability. You can achieve those things without technology. Technology can make it better and quicker and more efficient, but you can achieve efficiency and smartness without technology. But that is more difficult to achieve than just incorporating fancy technology. So the focus has been on technology, because maybe the view is that technology will just make it easier.
Yeah,
you know, and will require less human input and will remove human error, things like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
That makes sense. I know we're going to just unpack it a little bit, you know, for us who are, you know, novices in this space and trying to think. But as you speak about it, I'm trying to envision it in my mind. It sounds like heaven, or not at least an attempt or shot at heaven. And I'll tell you why I'm asking it in that way. Simply because it doesn't seem like there's any either political will or social will or whatever the case might be that at least can move us towards that kind of direction. Because even if you look at the so-called Johannesburg, a world African city, you know, it still doesn't come close to, at least at the very, very low level of what you're saying, to say, even without technology, for example, there are certain things that we can do that can move us to a better quality of life. But even that seems like a long shot at what heaven can kind of look like. But are you frustrated? Do you get frustrated sometimes when you look at these things?
Not sometimes, yes, of course. Especially if you know, you're affected directly by these inefficiencies. But I mean, Joburg is not so far away from being a smart city by many definitions, you know.
Okay.
Especially compared to other municipalities across Africa and the developing, so-called developing world. Joburg certainly is on the path. So there are certain things, for example, you know, when we speak smart city, we speak technology, right?
Yeah.
And how that technology enables a better quality of life for citizens. So one of the things that Joburg has done, very simple, is that you can receive your municipal bill electronically.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Every month, and you can access it on your cell phone.
Yeah.
And you don't have to wait for someone to deliver it in the post or whatever. You can just access it. You can even pay very quickly, you know. You can go and have your barcode on the thing scanned, and you can have it on your phone.
Yeah.
Go to Pick and Pay and you can pay that's smart. It makes it efficient for you as a consumer, your quality of life. You don't have to necessarily stand in a very long queue.
Yeah.
You can just do it as part of your grocery shopping or whatever, paying my bills.
That's
something we take for granted now, you know, because it's run of the mill now. But 15 years ago, 20 years ago, that might not have been possible. You know, that's an example of moving towards smart. And of course, when you talk about a smart city, it doesn't mean everything in the city is electronic, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know if there is such a city. So you will have initiatives run by the municipality that just make things more efficient. You think of, there was a time I was doing some research into, like, personal research, not masters, like some people we know. Hey?
Shots fired.
Just my own, you know, informal research into smart bins.
Mm.
So these are dustbins that are fitted with technology that is able to measure the quantity of waste in the bin.
Sure, that's interesting.
Yeah, it's very simple. Hey, I mean, I think these kids nowadays who are into robotics and stuff can design something like that very easily. You just use sensors.
Yeah.
And you can buy these sensors at electronic shops. And all you need to do is now to program Arduinos and things like that.
Yeah.
But anyway, there are whole companies in Europe who are manufacturing smart bins. So there was a particular city, I forgot which city it was, that had piloted smart bins.
Mm.
So these bins can tell you the level of, you know, saturation or volume, how much waste is there.
Yeah.
They measure either the weight or, you know, volume.
Yeah.
And this information is sent electronically to a receiver.
Sure.
And someone can tell at any point in time, you know, what the volume of waste is in these bins. And that can be efficient in that you can plan your waste collection around real-time needs, you know,
or
real-time that you can analyze consumption methods, you know, in the city and things like that. That's advanced. We don't need sensor technology necessarily to have efficient waste collection.
Yeah.
You know, we just need better planning, better fleet management, maintenance, and you know, things like that here in South Africa. And if waste collection and waste management was done efficiently, we would be as good as a smart city, or so-called smart city with fancy sensor technology in their dustbins.
Aye, Chris, we want those fancy things as well.
We do. It's nice.
It's nice.
You can know that, you know, your waste is going. It's not. They're not going to wait for it to be falling out the bin.
Exactly.
You know, they'll come and pick it up.
So we'd like to have that. But I want to just punt a little bit on the issue of sustainability there. And I think I've got two questions there. The first one is, since there doesn't seem to be any political will, right? Doesn't this open up space for the private sector, for example, to kind of innovate and maybe look at such examples across the world that they can then bring here, maybe at a more efficient, more cost-effective manner, you know, given our own, you know, challenges, resources, or lack of resources, for example, to kind of manage, you know, for example, just a simple waste management at that higher level. You know, we tried with Etoll and Etoll and just became something else. But, you know, perhaps maybe we need to find a way to contextualize these nice things. And in my mind, I do think it's possible we can get to them, right? With the right will, I suppose. And maybe if government cannot do that, for example, creating an environment where the private sector can play there, do you think there's you know, space for the private sector to play there, right, given the context of South Africa? Mm-hmm. So that's the first thing. And then on sustainability, I mean, I think the concept of sustainability is becoming far important and a whole lot more, you know, at the top of the agenda in corporate, in government, in civil society and the likes. In this particular context, especially within the ISO, is there any way to break that into simple chunks? You know, are we talking about ESG, for example? Or, you know, if it's ESG, which element of the E or the S or the G, you know, that's coming? Because I know you've mentioned governance, proper governance, planning and all the sort of stuff.
Mm.
But I see the other E and S also coming in there. But I'm also cognizant of the fact that we might define sustainability all differently. So those two things for me, if you can just enlighten us a little bit on that.
Yeah, so yeah, there's definitely room for private sector involvement. But some have argued and still argue that the whole impetus for a smart city here in Africa and South Africa is a misplaced priority.
Sure, Sure.
Because we've got very urgent societal needs that may be in conflict with some smart city initiatives. You know, if you remember, I think it was in 2016 when the ANC lost a huge chunk of its power in the municipality.
Yes.
And parties like the EFF became king makers in the city of Joburg.
Yeah.
What ended up happening was that they shut down many of these initiatives that were apparently making Joburg smart, because they felt, these are not pressing needs. There were cycle lanes that were being built in some places, you know, so people could cycle instead of using them. And they said, no, you're talking about cycle lanes. There are people in Soweto there who are struggling with very basic services. Yeah. There are people who are living in informal settlements in absolute squalor. They are using buckets for sanitation. And you want to build lanes so that people can ride bicycles, people who own cars and who can afford bus fare. So there is that issue of conflicting societal needs, and so the government might not be quick to roll out many smart city initiatives because of that, and so the private sector has an opportunity. But even then, some people say, but what we are going to do is, now we are going to perpetuate spatial inequalities.
Yes.
We are going to entrench and reinforce the hallmarks, what someone called the hallmarks of apartheid planning in South Africa, where the rich people live in a certain area and the poor people live in another area, and the level of services that they have are so disparate that you know inequality is impossible to eradicate or reduce. So there is that, but in terms of environmental and sustainability, yes, there are private sector companies that are coming into the space.
There
are eco estates that are being built that are using such technology. But I mean, I think it's Sizwe Bofu Walsh who argues in his book that apartheid was not completely eradicated because of it. It's just being privatized. You know, apartheid is being privatized, and some will argue that when the private sector pushes such smart city initiatives as a leader, they are simply privatizing apartheid.
Sure.
At the same time, you know, globally and in Africa as well, a lot of infrastructure provision and service provision is being done through public-private partnerships.
Yes.
Yeah, so I think that's where things will be going, private public partnerships.
Yeah, I'm looking for a much you know, better word, but I think I'm a proponent of that. Yeah. We'll talk about that somewhere later. You know, why these triple P's are very important in moving us closer.
Yeah.
And I think my belief is that government should in any ways be leading such infrastructure you know, projects. They should at least create an enabling environment, but I don't suspect that government, because the failure of government can be catastrophic across, you know, the economy. So you wanna, you know, reduce that and then leave that, or at least a huge chunk of it to the private sector. If I'm hearing you very well, sounds like there's only few countries, if at all, in the African continent that can at least be seen to be closer to smart cities.
Yeah, definitely. There are few cities, and even then, I mean, they are implementing some initiatives towards being smart, but they are not there yet.
Yeah.
And remember that this whole smart city thing is really hinged on how the cities are managed and governed efficiently. And, you know, Africa doesn't have the best track record in terms of governance in general, and that is seen in the state and condition of the cities.
Yeah, that's an interesting one. So you said Joburg is at least moving somewhere. At the top of your head, are there any that you can think of as well? I mean, some would argue. How,
yes.
What about Cape Town?
So recently, I think it was DBSA. Yeah, DBSA yeah. in 2021 mm. Launched a pilot. You know, mm. you can see it on their website where they're having certain initiatives within four metros.
Yeah,
Tshwane, Ekurhuleni,
okay,
and then eThekwini,
mm-hmm.
and City of Joburg. So those four municipalities, they are piloting smart city initiatives
okay.
in those municipalities. I mean, in Tshwane, in the parks, for example, mm. you will find that there's free Wi-Fi. There are free Wi-Fi hotspots.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And also, they're using geographic information systems, GIS. You can go onto their
yes.
website and use the GIS in order to, you know, see land parcels and, you know, who owns which land, what's the
yeah.
size of this earth or this plot. And then, yeah, other electronic, you know, procurement systems, CCTV,
mm.
cameras that you'll find in Ekurhuleni. Yeah, so there are some initiatives. A lot of them have to do with, like, being able to pay electronically and view your bills
mm.
or report issues, you know, log issues. Your electricity is down. You can log a fault with the power authority, and they can work on maintenance. You know? So those things are being piloted in some of the metros in the country. Smart meters are a big deal.
Yeah.
You know? So definitely, I think in South Africa, I'm not sure about other countries.
Mm.
I think Kenya as well may have such initiatives in Nairobi. But there are movements towards having more efficient cities,
mm.
more ready access to city officials and city services.
Yeah,
through enabling technology. Yeah,
sure. The so-called Airtropolis, Ekurhuleni.
Yes. That has been in the pipeline forever. Yeah,
I think it was a noble dream, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, you know, that's how all these things start. I mean,
yeah.
you think of Waterfall City. I mean, the plans were, I understand the plans, it was in the making more than 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And here we are today.
Sure. Yeah, that's interesting. Would you say the other country in Western Cape is moving closer?
Yeah, certainly. They do also have all these smart city initiatives that are being rolled out to these other cities. They are initiating themselves as well. So yeah, in Cape Town, definitely there are initiatives. And I mean, you spoke about civil infrastructure and civil engineering being at the forefront. In a way, yes, because a lot of the problems that frustrate city dwellers have to do with the most prominent civil infrastructure, which is roads.
Yes.
You know, and traffic congestion.
Mm,
you know? And some cities, I'm not sure if Cape Town is, you know, they're definitely not there. Some cities have included ways of making traveling on the roads much more efficient.
Mm.
So even in Gauteng, you will see that sometimes there are these electronic boards that will tell you if a lane is closed, that there's a lane closure coming up ahead. Now that's a smart initiative. So there are those inches towards using technology to make life more efficient for city dwellers. You think of water as well. I stayed in a complex in Pretoria where and there was even in the west of Joburg there was an estate that was built where they're using, you can use your cell phone to check your water consumption.
Sure.
At any point in time, you can check the water consumption.
Mm.
You can also recharge. So the water was prepaid. It was my first time staying in a place where the water was prepaid, just like electricity. And if you ran out of units, the water would stop flowing in your tap immediately.
Sure.
And if you recharged, the water would start flowing just as quickly as it stopped.
Oh, wow.
And this is not even a fancy estate. It was an entry level estate for people who just started working, essentially.
So that's it. This is perhaps from an urban development, urban planning, kind of that intersection between the two is what I'm hearing you. And you're arguing that we are not even there yet at where we are integrating technology and urban planning, I suppose, in envisioning and making this thing come to life, this so-called smart cities, but we are in the right direction.
Definitely, yeah, definitely in the right direction. I think I worked on, was it last year? Your time. Yeah, last year in June, July, I was working on the asset management plan for Joburg Water, the infrastructure asset management plan for Joburg Water. And that plan was going to be difficult to produce without a geographic information system. Yeah, so they're using a good geographic information system, which is essentially up to date, and that enables them to plan 10 years on a 10-year or longer horizon. So yeah, there are a number of municipalities in South Africa that are moving in that direction, and some of it is required by legislation that they have that kind of technology, you know.
Sure. It seems like we've got really great plans, really great ideas. We put them on paper, and we really draw nice drawings, and we all put all of that in this beautiful, beautiful document. It's like that
Colorful documents.
colorful documents, that national development plans, and our colorful document there that's meant to drive policy and drive us to a certain, I suppose, stance, economy, whatever you want to look at. And all these things look really nice, but it seems like implementation becomes then another issue that we need to deal with. Those to me sounds like those are the things that are stopping us, inhibiting us, challenges that we are facing towards moving to this smart. Do you think we need to import a little bit of experience from outside?
Yeah, that will definitely help, and it's already being done. But yeah, like you're mentioning, at the end of the day, it's a human problem, a human resource challenge. It can be a challenge of skill and expertise, but that can be learned, developed, or imported. Then there's the challenge of imperatives, whoever's in power, what is imperative for them? So the political issues come to play, and with that, then there are governance issues, and South Africa is plagued with corruption. So it's a human issue. If we had the right kind of leadership and governance in place, a lot of these things would happen at a faster pace.
I hope they are listening. If they are listening, this kind of things, we need to get them too crazy.
Yeah, we hope they do. What we need is good leadership. And the rest will follow in time.
Definitely. And I'm thinking now, as we kind of round off now, I'm thinking about, your waterfall, staying city. You go to the south, Aspen Hills, and it seems like they kind of get the smart thing,
Certainly, yeah.
but they've sort of like privatized it to just where they are.
Yeah. That's exactly it. And it's just entrenching inequalities,
Aish,
It's entrenching inequality. And that's the concern of many people, that if we focus and invest more in such initiatives, we're just entrenching inequality. Why don't we rather divert our attention into basic service provision, access to transport routes, economic development in certain areas, and worry about being smart later.
No pun intended, right?
Yeah.
All right, transportation. I think it's a huge, huge thing. I mean, we sit in traffic for hours on end just to get to 10 kilometers, you know? And it becomes so frustrating. You get to work tired, you come back from work, get to your family tired, and you're just 10Ks away, you know, literally in 10 minutes you should be back and all that. So how do we, I suppose, incorporate, if we haven't, but if we have, any examples that perhaps you can round us off where, you know, you've got this technology, engineering, you know, traffic management system kind of integrating to make life easier? And I like the example that you made, because we take it for granted. You drive on the highways, for example, especially the ones that they wanted to privatize with the other agency, transport.
And they
feel that doing that. You've got these massive things that tell you ahead that there's an accident, there's this, there's that, so that you can either divert, look for another route. But it seems like they were able to help us with congestion and all, because a lot of us will still be in the cities for some time.
Yeah, so there was talk about that. I remember when I was at school, and you know, they used to tell us about these kind of initiatives perhaps in the future where certain lanes are closed at certain times of the day, or opened only to public transport.
Okay.
You know, to encourage people to get out of their cars and to get into buses, because they move more efficiently between spaces. The Gautrain can very well be considered a smart city initiative, trying to get people off the congested roads and decongest the roads, and travel by a train more quickly and safer than being on the road. And yeah, there are plans to extend the Gautrain, you know. That's also just a matter of time. There's going to be another extended Gautrain route. So definitely in terms of transport, there are smart initiatives being initiated in the city of Joburg. And it's not just the city of Joburg. I mean, this, what's it called, rapid bus transit is being rolled out. It was rolled out in Tshwane as well. I forgot what it's called in Areyeng or something like that. Areyeng is what it's called in Tshwane. Reavaya is what it was called
in Joburg.
What it is called here in Joburg, I'm not sure, of Cape Town and Etegwini's version. But yeah, bus rapid transit is something that has been seen to work in the first world. But, you know, there are other dynamics in South Africa that affect such a system. Yeah.
Sure. Final thoughts there. You seem like you have a nice job when you're talking about some rapid things and nice things, moving the cities and all that.
It's not my current job. But yeah, it's nice to, to read up on these things. Final thoughts. Cities are going to become more complex with time. They are going to become more populated with time. Rapid urbanization. Governments are going to battle to control the growth in population and to provide services to the sprawling cities. That's the direction that things are going. And more people are going to try and live in cities, but live lives that don't reflect that they're affected by all the congestion and the problems that are happening in cities. So you can expect to see more estates and things like that, but that will lead to inequality and perhaps a rise in crime. Things that we've seen in the past will intensify before they get better, if they do get better. Yeah, the best thing one could do for themselves is retire out of the city or move out of the city before retirement, if you're in a position to do so. It's just more peaceful. You can get off the grid because even in the city, we're being compelled to be off the grid, off the water network, off the electrical network. That's the direction, I think, in which urban development is moving.
Sounds like apocalypse. But thank you so much, Chris. Really appreciate your time.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure.
Have a good one. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You are tuned into Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.